You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I am your host. And no, this is not a weather podcast, but yes, there has been some inclement weather in Charleston, South Carolina, and in general on this side of the world this whole week, really. So we're going to have to talk about the weather. It's inevitable. And it'll relate to food, you know, loosely, as it always does. There was an insane storm that's just, it feels like it was just taking, like Michael Myers style, just slowly but surely coming to destroy everything. And it did truly impact the Bahamas in just the worst way. Those islands, my God, they just seem to get just beat up so bad in these things because they're just right in the line of fire. The conditions are perfect for them to just get pummeled. And this storm was relentless. So before we go on talking about stupid shit that you should eat while you're trapped inside your house, maybe you should A, donate to the Bahamian cause to rebuild because it's real. And I'll talk about that more in a minute, but donate to, you can donate to the Red Cross. You can donate to Jose Andres Foundation. You can donate anywhere that makes sense to you. Just please, if you're able to help those people, they just had a devastating week with Hurricane Dorian kind of ripping through that area. It came on up to South Carolina, and I'll tell you, because it was so devastating in the Bahamas, I was like, psh, it's going to like wear itself out. It's going to do what it always does and kind of like crawl up the East Coast, run out of steam, and then just turn out into the ocean. That seems to be the pattern for the past three-ish storms. We always get some inclement weather, but we don't ever get, you know, we don't ever get totally trashed the way some places do. Florida being one of them. My God, those people just, they're just in it. They're just, the Floridians are a special breed because they just, you know, they're just ready. They're ready for whatever's coming their way. They got nothing to lose, everything to gain. They're a different type of resilient. And so, yeah, Florida's used to that. We're used to this. This is every single season. But the hurricane was just moving so slowly that I honestly got a little bit distracted and just sort of forgot that it was happening. And I kept getting these messages, people being like, are you getting out? Are you getting out? And I was just laying there on my couch, just like a normal day. I did do some prepping because I knew we were going to get something, whether it be power outages or something, but I knew we would have some sort of effect. And then my mom's like, oh, she texted me and was like, looks like it's coming straight at you. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what is she talking about? So I look at my phone, and lo and behold, it's turned into a category 3. It was downgraded to a 2, and then it had jumped back up to a 3 and was coming straight for Charleston, according to the radar. And I did have a moment where I was like very scared. The wind was so insane. The wind was just howling in a way that I had never heard. We have a huge live oak, which is one of those giant trees. They're all, my neighborhood is a very woodsy area. Again, I don't want to say too much about where I live. I feel like slowly but surely I'm giving some psycho out there all the keys that they need to just find out exactly where I live. So put that in your clue book, Mr. or Mrs. Psycho, whoever you are. But my neighborhood is very woodsy, and I don't know. I started hearing trees like dropping limbs. I started getting scared, and it was just wind. There wasn't any rain. Nothing was flooding. Nothing was broken in my house. Nothing was landing on my house. We still had power. It just sounded scary. And I just thought, those poor people in the Bahamas, I can't even imagine how scared. Mother Nature is fucking crazy. Crazy. The sheer power that you witnessed just in the very little tiny effects of the storm that we saw here in Charleston were scary enough to me. So much so that I was like, you know what? this is dumb. Next time I will evacuate. Not because I think it's truly going to, you know, flood my house or I'm going to have to climb on my roof or anything like that, but just, I don't know. I've, for so many years, I've been so, like, I ain't leaving. I'm staying here. This is my house. I'm going to defend it. Very Kevin McAllister of me. And I think a lot of people in this area feel that way. It's sort of like a badge of honor where they're like, you know what? We deal with this. It's totally fine. But I think next time I will leave, just because at one point I was like, my little 9-month-old baby is asleep in there. And if a giant tree falls on his room, what will have this all been for? What will be the point? If there's a way that you can get out, and I know it's expensive, and when it doesn't go anywhere, it's like that's a huge pain in the ass. It can be crippling to the restaurant industry. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But it is, I mean, honestly, if you can get out, get out. This one was a little bit more scary. I felt like we still got away with murder because it was like nothing happened. And I know some people are dealing with a lot more damage than we were dealing with, but we were out of power. And that was like the biggest part of it. And not to sound insensitive, but being without power is really shitty. I know. There's like so many things that could be way worse, but it's truly like when the power did come back on last night, it came back on at like 7 p.m. and it was like that scene in The Wizard of Oz where everything goes from being in black and white to just technicolor. Like, oh my God. I know I did. I actually started singing, Hallelujah, because I was so happy that the power was back on. I had settled into my pioneer life. I had candles. I had a cross breeze going because it's humid in the South and it was muggy and all the air felt like I was sitting in like a failing sauna. Like it was kind of hot, but it wasn't hot enough to be enjoyable. But when it came back on, I was just so happy. So happy. So the moral of the story is we're safe. We are sound. Not everybody was that lucky. And if you are in a position to give to the people that truly had their lives wrecked by that storm, I feel compelled to do so because I'm like, hey, this is me getting away with nothing happening to me. And I'm in a position to where I can like pass it on down the line. And it feels good to do that because I was a little bit terrified for a second. One second I'm sitting here just eating all my hurricane snacks that I prepped, which is, what is the perfect hurricane snack? Every year I try to crack this code. I try to crack it because I'm like, hurricanes are weird. It's not like a nor'easter or snowstorm that comes out of nowhere or something where it's like, oh, all of a sudden it just hits you. It's not that type of, or an earthquake. Where you're like, what the fuck? What was that? Too late. It's over. Hurricanes, you know, they're coming a long time in advance. So there's a lot of anticipation. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of like hysteria with people going to the store and trying to grab supplies, which honestly, people, what are you doing with the supplies that you had from last year? Do you drink those 36 gallons of water? I still had water from the last hurricane that didn't affect us. Was it under my stairs in the garage? Yeah. Did it look pretty nasty? Sure, but it was sealed. We drank out of it and we didn't even have to. But there's a ton of time before you actually feel the effects of the hurricane where people just start, you know, quote unquote, prepping for the storm, which really means just like for me in my house, it's just a series of dips, just making one dip after the other. But they're surprisingly not the best thing to have around because I'm like, it doesn't actually keep you alive. Like there's a difference in being like, oh, we're stuck in the house. We're going to like just chill like it's a Super Bowl party, but we're watching the storm. And then there's the, I'm thinking that I might actually not be able to sustain myself. And so I'm trying to stay alive for 2 to 3 days if nobody can get to me. since I chose not to evacuate. I always oscillate between which is the, am I prepping for an actual problem or am I prepping for like a fun time? Usually, up until this point, I just prep for a fun time. It's like Chex Mix and pimento cheese and French onion dip and chips and just anything with a fuck ton of sour cream in it. Mayonnaise-based dips. But this time I was like, nah, I'm a little worried. It's kind of a big storm. After what I saw happen to the Bahamas, I was like, we could genuinely be without food or a way to get outside for a day or two. We've got little kids, so what can they eat? So we had the usual suspects, the bread. I don't buy the milk because I think that's stupid because the first thing that's going to happen is your power is going to go out. And then milk is just a poor choice. But I think I finally cracked the code this year. It's meat pies, people. Meat pies. Or if you're a vegetarian, any sort of tart or vegetable pie. People, yeah, you could do like a leek and potato pie. That would actually be amazing. You can just a pie that can sit on your counter and doesn't have to be hot or cold. So you never truly have to compromise and say like, I feel like I'm suffering. I feel like I'm, you know, there's a feeling you get when you eat something cold out of a can that's like, I'm just trying to not die. I'm just trying to hang on here with these cans. And then there's a feeling of like, this is okay, but this spaghetti would be a lot better if it wasn't cold or room temperature. And then most things, almost everything I can think of, it either has to be very cold or pretty hot. If it's not like something in a bag, like chips, which you could live on, I guess, but it's not ideal. But the meat pie, I made I call it pork pie. It's an old family favorite and it's potatoes, onion. Why did I say potatoes? I'm thinking of chips. There's no potato. It's onions, pork, sage, cinnamon, garlic. I think we're getting close. Oh, there's a little bit of clove. There's a little bit of nutmeg. It's got kind of that five spice vibe. And then you just cook it with chicken stock and breadcrumbs till it gets kind of sticky and you make your own pie dough. I make my own pie dough and then I make a bottom layer, put the pie filling in the middle and then bake it. It can sit on the counter for days. And I want to talk to all of you out there that are like, ew, that's weird. Everything doesn't have to be refrigerated right away. I know that you think it does. But it doesn't. There is some stuff, especially stuff that is produced in mass quantities that is very much perishable. And if it does perish, it can have a lot of bacteria and you could get really sick if you eat it. But the stuff that you make at home, it can sit out for a while. I'm talking about a while. This is a real story. I almost never refrigerate anything the first night that I cook it. Like if I braise, I don't know, carnitas, if I make a big beef stew, if I braise a roast, chances are it's going to be finished right as I'm like winding up for the night. And I'm like, okay, I'm like turning off the lights. The kitchen is clean. The meat is still in the Le Creuset on top of the stove. I'm just going to let it chill. And then in the morning, I wake up and I put it into containers when it's 100% sufficiently cooled. And then I put it away. And not once, and I mean not once, have I ever gotten sick from anything like that. In fact, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I don't know if it's just some kind of like amazing microbiome that I have. That's right. I'm talking about my microbiome. We're here. I have never gotten food poisoning. And I don't know. I mean, I've been made ill from something and been like, oh God, that really hurt my stomach a lot. The next morning when I wake up and I'm like, oh geez. But usually, and almost in total, it's been 99.5 thousand times 90% of the time, it's because I was like out drinking and eating bar food, or like drinking and then eating Chinese food, or drinking and eating an entire pizza. It's never really the food's fault. It's like all the stuff that I did in conjunction that led up to me eating that food and then going to bed. But true story, I've never, for instance, gone to a taco truck and then been like, oh my God. I've never gone to a street food cart in New York and gotten sick. I know people that have. I know a guy that almost died from eating street food in New York. Like, he was hospitalized for a long time. Chris Monaco, I'm talking about you. You know who you are. If you listen to this show, somebody tell Monaco that I'm telling a story about him almost dying. He didn't really almost die, but he was very, very, very sick from street food. Anyway, I know people that have gotten late night food and then had to cancel reservations the next day because they just were in the bathroom completely poisoned from food. And that's never happened to me. Not in my adult life. Apparently there's this terrible story of when I was a kid and my mom wiped up some raw chicken on the counter and then wiped our faces with the rag. And we all three got salmonella. Salmonella? Why do I always call it Simonella? Like Simon Ella. Simonella. Salmonella. Salmonella. Either way, I got that one when I was a kid, but never as an adult. Maybe a salmonella as a kid made some sort of like stomach of steel or imparted some sort of like bacteria into my body that now is a good bacteria. I don't know. All I'm saying is your food can sit out. The meat pie sat on the counter, flaky, crusty, perfectly set. It almost had like pâté en croûte vibes. I just got fancy on your ass. Pâté en croûte, meaning when you have that flaky puff like pastry dough wrapped around a pâté and it's all set and perfect and slices beautifully and you can throw some mustard on it and you can snack on it. It was like that. We did lose power. And as soon as I woke up, I was like, oh no, it's dark. This is horrible. We don't have any lights. And I saw that meat pie and it was like a knight in shining armor. I was like, oh, it's fine. I make a little salad, put some greens in a bowl, throw some olive oil and lemon on it. Boom. I don't feel like I'm suffering at all. And all I had to do was make that little pie ahead of time. So moving forward, I will not be making dips anymore unless I mean to just have a good time. Because don't get me wrong, if you're having a hurricane party and you're like having people over and you're putting on your wellies and you're going to like smoke weed and go play in the storm like an asshole, you want the dips. You want those dips. That's going to make your party. You don't want to have to like, you know, cook people a 3-course meal in the middle of a hurricane. And that's why people want the dips. But if you're actually talking about staying alive, I want you to make yourself a deep dish, beautiful, savory pie and let it sit on your counter. I also made chicken soup, but not in like it wasn't part of my plan. In fact, it was one of those things that while I was making it, I was like, why are you spending all this time making this thing that you think is going to be there for you, but it's not. But I did have a whole chicken and I didn't want to waste it. So I was like, I'll just cook it. So I made just a very classic chicken soup, like boiled chicken with lots of aromatics and peppercorn and leeks and carrots and onion and celery. And I made this soup and it made me feel better, like inside. Like as I was cooking it, I was like, you feel kind of wholesome. You feel like you're nourishing. You're on the way to nourishing someone. You're like, this is going to be so soothing when we're all worried about the storm. But really, I just need something to keep me occupied when something like this happens. Like I need a series of long projects that are going to keep me busy, that are going to keep my mind off of like just refreshing the radar over and over. And you think in your mind, like, oh, this is going to be so good. This is going to be exactly what we want. But guess what? Soup is only good hot. Even gazpacho, you can say what you will. There's very few chilled soups that I actually enjoy. There are possible. It has happened. There's not many of them. And so soup is really, in my mind, meant to be hot. And I was like, spending all this time and putting all this effort into making this beautiful, nuanced chicken soup. And then as soon as the power went out, boom, lights go out. Okay. Beep. Like that's your refrigerator just like totally being like, danger, danger, power's out. I'm looking at the chicken soup in the fridge and I'm like, suddenly it looks disgusting to me because the power went out. It's like, it's like something that's betrayed me. Like I no longer want to eat it. It's still sitting in my fridge right this second. And I can't put my finger on why I won't just heat it up and eat it. I put a lot of work into it, but it's like something about it. It wasn't there for me. It betrayed me. And now I hate it. And even though it's in there and it's probably fine because it stayed in the refrigerator and we didn't open the refrigerator because there was nothing to get out of it. And I still don't want it. So go ahead and put chicken soup on the list of things not to make. Chicken soup for your hurricane soul. It might make you feel better in advance of the hurricane, but once it actually gets there and you're hungry, you're going to be going for the weird bag of popcorn that someone left at your house before you're going to be going for that chicken soup, just saying. But I am so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful that our house wasn't damaged. I every single time it's a big sigh of relief once the hurricane makes its way out. We had a beautiful sunny day today and it feels good to be back in action. And of course there's always the great debate in the restaurant world, do we stay open, right? It's insane how much of a difference an unexpected closure can make in a restaurant's life. It can actually close the restaurant. I don't think people realize they're like, oh, fuck it. Take a couple days off. Keep your employees safe. It's not that simple. The amount of loss that occurs when you have to close or when you lose power is even worse because even stuff that would still be good is no longer good. It's no longer safe to serve people. Depending on what kind of business you run, it could be thousands and thousands of dollars in loss just from being closed or without power for even 12 to 24 hours. It's insane. So there's always the thing like, do we stay open? Do we try to like power through it with a skeleton crew? And it's like so many people have so many different interests that it ends up being this hilarious dance of, if I can just speak from my point of view as a server, I'd always be like, these fucking greedy shits, these fucking owners, they don't care if I drown on the way down here trying to like get open. You're always like waiting, watching the news, waiting for that email from HR to be like, okay, guys, we're closed. Like, go have a hurricane party. And I'm always, I don't know why I'm always on this side. This is a cycle that happens when you're a server. You're like waiting for the news for them to officially say they're closed so you can celebrate. Then when they say that they're closing because they've got your safety in mind, if they're one of the nice people that does close, you're like, ha, fucking getting 3 days off. And then it turns into five. And then you're crying and panicking because you can't pay your rent. And it's just this silly cycle that we do every single time. The owners never want to close because they're like, this is our livelihood. It's not just a missed paycheck for me. This could shut me down totally. Chefs obviously are always trying to keep the doors open, but trying to balance that weight of like, do I put myself in danger? Is anybody actually going to show up? And then of course there's the patrons who never want anyone to close. They want you to be open, serving a full menu. They want to know why shit's taking a long time. Everybody's cranky because it takes 2 hours. And you're like, dude, we don't even have to be here. We shouldn't even be here. It's dangerous. It's just hurricanes have a way of making no one happy. It's just a bad situation for all. The owners are worried about the bottom line. The servers and the staff is like just obviously being like, dude, can we just have a fucking day off without you trying to make a couple extra bucks? Because they're not looking at the big picture. And then the guests or the patrons are just like, well, where am I going to get my buffalo chicken nachos? Who's going to make me a pizza? How come I can't get an oyster? I don't know why they're all from Massachusetts, but in any case, the people just never seem to understand like why you're closed. So it's a very emotional time for people in the service industry, for people everywhere. But I think so many people look to restaurants for comfort and for, you know, a distraction, a release. They usually have great booze. You can kind of drink the stormy blues away. And so it's always such an emotional time. And as the first year of me not being like doing that dance of waiting to see if I'm going to get called in or not, I got to say, I kind of missed it. I kind of missed that, like, oh boy, am I going to have to like swim down to the restaurant and try to see if anybody comes in and then stand around and be like, see, I told you no one was going to fucking come. People are just going to come sit at the bar. Why do they have three servers on? That same old song and dance. I kind of miss it. I really miss it. But if you're out there and people are still trying to get their show up and running, or they're running with a limited menu, or if people are cranky, you don't know what's going on. You know, it's everybody's hurricane situation is different. And above all, just extend them hospitality on all sides. If you're a guest, I don't know if you know this, but when you go to a restaurant, it's your job to also be hospitable. Okay, let me just let that sink in. Your job is to also extend kindness and hospitality to the people who are waiting on you, especially in a time of crisis. Especially in a time where they are like sticking their necks out, being away from their home to work. You're also away from your home, but it's for fun. If you're at a restaurant bar drinking and eating and there's a hurricane, chances are you've probably already secured your house, or your shit's all set up and you're just like, now let's go have some fun. And someone else has to provide that and take care of you. And that's what we want to do. That's what servers are there for. They're there. They want your money. They want your good time. They want to be the ones that are open in most cases. But just across the board, be considerate. If you're a patron, be a good one and tip fat. And if you're a server, don't act like you've got some chip on your shoulder, like they're lucky to have you. The fact is, we both need each other. The guest needs the server. The server needs the kitchen. The kitchen needs the owner. The owner needs the purveyors. It all is this very beautiful, delicate little ecosystem. And a storm can really, really hurt people's restaurants, people's economy. And it's our time to shine. Nothing in the world makes people feel better when they're afraid or scared than to come into a lively, exciting, bustling restaurant that's kind of like this oasis or beacon in the middle of the shit storm that is your life. So don't forget that that's its own privilege to be able to offer that to people. What else? I was on my friend's podcast called Pocket Liquor. If you haven't listened to Pocket Liquor, you totally should. It's a very hilarious show that is incredibly informative. I'm like not in, you know how this show is about nothing, but sometimes it's about food. Their show, it really is about liquor. It's really, really, really good. It's Jace McConnell and Brandon Plyler. And actually, when it first launched, I helped them kind of get it off the ground and help them. I produced the first couple episodes. And so it's a show that's very near and dear to my heart anyway. And I finally like got the chance to be on it and was so, so, so excited to be asked to be a guest on the show. And they just know so much. They are two of the like nerdiest in the best way booze guys that I know who make some of the most, Jace makes some of the most incredible cocktails that you can find. He's a lovely, lovely person who's also very funny. And funny enough, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this. Him and I, we were both homeschooled. So there's so many connections that I have with him where I'm just like, I get you. You get me. And Plyler is incredibly, incredibly well-versed in beer. Like, it's amazing. Like, the stuff, the history that he knows about booze in general, but especially beer, is pretty astounding. I was on their show. You can check it out on iTunes or Spotify. We had a really nice time talking. So check that out if you get lonely. And yeah, again, not to be a broken record, but help out the sweet people in the Bahamas. My God, I wish I could do more than just give them money, because it feels a little silly to be sitting here like quibbling about losing my power for 48 hours. But in the meantime, I hope you're well. I hope if you were affected by the hurricane that you're in good shape. And let me know what you make. I feel like the meat pies, we're in a good place as far as like, that's a solid thing to prep. Give me something that you're like, no, like desert island style. This is what I keep. It's the first thing I go to. And unless it's milk and bread, and then please don't say that. If you email me and tell me that you go and grab milk and bread, then I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't read that. I want something else. Something that you make every single time. It could be a nor'easter too. People up north, they deal with these like not being able to get out of their house for a long time. So I want to know what you make, what your go-to thing is that you can kind of keep going back to when you're stuck inside the house. Because that's a weird place to get in. Getting stuck in your house, it gets, oof. Something psychological happens and it just really, it gets dark real quick. And I'm not talking about not having power. I'm talking about in my mind. I think this is a direct quote after the storm. The storm had passed today. Oh, it's been gone. It passed yesterday. But it was, you know, we're still doing like a lot of cleanup. And it just felt weird. My schedule's all off. Everything felt weird. I was just not myself. And I couldn't shake it. And then I just was in the car, like driving around, trying to find an open store with Jeremy. And I'm like, I just feel like my life is passing me by. And he said, do you know what he said? He said, because it is. In true Jeremy fashion, deadpan, totally serious. It was like, it is. And that's just an example of how quickly, when stalled, my brain just goes to like, to just the worst of everything. I have to be moving. As long as I'm moving forward, even if it's in a silly direction, like a stupid wild goose chase that's not getting me anywhere, I'm happy. It's fine. Forward movement in my mind is progress, whether it's up or down or plateau or linear, it doesn't matter to me. But to be just completely stopped and to just be like forced to sit still, kind of, I have that type of personality that just does not sit well with me. Part of me blames just the way I'm wired, but there is, and I think I've said this before in the show, but if not, there was my ninth grade syllabus for English 2. I got a syllabus from my favorite teacher, Mr. Richard Stanton. Shout out to you if you're listening, Richard. Syllabus said, remember that the clock is ticking. And I can still see the syllabus in my mind because I was just like, what the fuck kind of thing is that to say? And in the way that's like, oh my God, he's right. Like, the time is just slipping away. And it is this incredible motivating factor that is it's in a fucked up way has shaped so much of, I don't know, how I function and what I think about and the general sense of urgency that I have in life is from this high school syllabus. And it's very, sometimes I hate it, sometimes I love it. I'm sure it's helped me get to where I am, whatever that means. So I can be grateful for it. But at the same time, it doesn't afford me any peace when it is just time to sit still and do nothing. I'm not one of those that can enjoy just vegging out, and I want to. It's something I wish I could do, but I just can't. So it was after even just 48 hours of being kind of just in timeout, essentially in my house, comfortably in my house, with meat pies in my house. I was in a dark place. I was like, yeah, I said my life is passing me by. So I'm happy that the sun is out, that life is back in motion. I'm going to try to not be so extreme all the time. How about that? How about you just take a little forced vacation and you enjoy yourself? And how about you do that too? We will see you next week. As always, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. I love you guys. Bye-bye. Pour passer de nuit à Anse, on enverra des cartes postales. Je laisserai un mot sur le feu.